I'd like to thank everybody for coming. This is our last Thursday night Parsha Shir before Pesach. Again, if anyone wants to give me their email, then I'll add them to the list that I created. After Pesach, May 5th is Rabbi Gottlieb, and May 12th is Rabbi Eli Rubin, and May 19th is a guest speaker from Yerushalayim. His name is Rabbi Moshe Miller, who will be talking on Shavuot. Without further ado, I'd like to thank Rabbi Wiener. Anyone needs scrap paper, I'll leave them.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Difficult to come up with new material every year, so there may be some repetition, ideas that maybe I've mentioned or you've heard before. Hopefully you'll walk away with something new, and it does take a year to forget, and now it's been 13 months, so I can repeat almost everything from last year when you remember. But I know it was recorded, so I'll try not to. I usually like to begin my Haggadah Shiurim by explaining why I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the beginning of the Haggadah. And that is, if you look carefully through the Haggadah, what we spend a lot of time on is really what we would call Talmud Torah, but it's not the fulfillment of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is speaking about what happened in Mitzrayim. What was our experience there? What happened when during the Makos? What happened when we left? That's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you look carefully at the Haggadah, it becomes abundantly clear that what we'll spend predominantly most of the Siddurim are spending time on something other than Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I'll show you how that is. I will, though, I have to be able to say at least telling you one thing that's not related to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but then we'll move into what the real Sipur is all about. If you look carefully at the Haggadah, we begin with the Manishtana. The Manishtana, as we've heard many, many times, are not questions. They can't be questions that a child is asking simply because the child doesn't see most of the things that are in the Manishtan. As we know, we haven't had matzah yet, we haven't had maror yet. Maybe we've reclined, but we certainly haven't dipped twice yet for the child to ask a question. The Manishtan sets the stage for the Seder, the props, so to speak, for the experience that we're going to have. Then what happens is we start saying Avadim Hoyinu Vayotzienu, which is very true, and then we're familiar with Afilu Kolanu Chachamim Kolanu Vonim Kolanu Yadim Esat Torah Mitzvah Aleinu L'Saper B'Tziyas Mitzrayim Uchalam Rabbi L'Saper Hazayin Hariz Meshubah. What's that all about? That's not the story. That's merely answering the question: to what extent am I supposed to tell the story? Should I spend an hour? Should I spend 2 hours? Should I spend 5 minutes? So it says, before you begin telling the story, I'm telling you, spend a lot of time. And should I show you, should I support that approach? I will. I'll support it with a story. There's a story about five great Tanoim who spent Pesach in Bnei Brak, in the home of Rabbi Akiva. We can certainly spend a lot of time analyzing that story and who the people are, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azari is a very significant figure, and he's spending time in Rabbi Akiva's Bnei Brak, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, he quoted his opinion, he really should not have been spending all night telling the story, because according to his opinion, that probably ends at Chatzos. That's all very nice, but why is that story there? That's to support the idea that Chalamar b'lasapir b'tzias Mitzrayim harezim b'shubah. Have we started the story yet? Not yet. We're getting ready to start the story, and we're letting you know that if you want to stay up till 3 o'clock, harezim b'shubah, and you have every right to tell everybody the next day how late your seder went, and feel very good about it. Then we move on in the Haggadah. And we speak about some other things. We speak about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, like I'm 7 years old. What's he talking about? He's talking about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, a mitzvah we have every day, according to the Chachamim, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zoma, not only every day, but every night. Why is that at the Seder? That's actually not the mitzvah we're performing tonight. And the reason it's at the Seder is to tell you, this is not the mitzvah tonight. I told you, kol amar b'lisaper ha'ezer meshubach. Lisaper means to tell a story. It means to relive the story. In order to demonstrate what Sipur is,
I want to show you what Zechira is. This is not Zechira. Do not do Zechira tonight. Do not say, Ani Hashem Elokim Asher Otzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim, and think for 2 seconds about Yeshiva Mitzrayim Vizehu. That's not the mitzvah. You need to tell the story. That's why this Mishnah, which is the last Mishnah, the first parak of Brachos, that's why that's here. Arba Banim Kidibrotoru. So we could spend 45 minutes talking about the Chacham and 2 hours about the Rasha, and we could do that. The only thing is, that's not the mitzvah either. What's that about? That's answering this question. It's answering the question how. How do you teach Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? You have all different people sitting at the Seder, different children and maybe grandchildren. How are you going to accomplish that? So the answer is, it depends on who you're talking to. I have a Chacham, I answer him this way. I have a Rosh, I answer him this way. I haven't told the story yet. I need to know how to tell the story. This is probably something we should do, according to the Minhag of Ramah, on Shabbos Haggadah. I need to prepare myself for how I'm going to perform the story. Because if I do that, then I can start right away after I make Kiddush, and I can really tell the story and just rush through this section. How am I going to tell the story depends on the child. Then, which we'll end with, Yachol Merosh Chodesh. What's that about? So that's a mechilta. I would have thought I could fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim when? From Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Tamud Lamar, the pasuk says, no, Bayom Ahu, has to be on that very day. That very day. Well, I slaughtered the Korban Pesach on Yudalid. There's some celebration in Hallel on Yudalid. Maybe I should fulfill the mitzvah, tell the story, as we're shechting the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach in the afternoon. No, Tamu Lomar Bavur Zeh. Bavur Zeh means I'm pointing to something. Bavur Zeh lo amarti ele b'shoshesh matzah umor mochum v'lecho. When is the matzah and mor and Korban Pesach sitting in front of me? Only at the Seder, only at night. What's that doing here? That's answering a different question. It's answering the question, when? When are you supposed to fulfill the mitzvah? Tonight. So I've answered the question, to what extent? I've answered the question, how? How do I teach it? To which children? How do I do so? I've answered the question, is this Zechira? No, this is Sipur. And I've answered the question, when do I perform this mitzvah? I perform it now. So let's get to the mitzvah. Let's get to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is mitchila ovdei avodah zarah avoseinu, which after 10 seconds, quick pasuk in Yoshua, all of a sudden, where are we? We're in Mitzrayim. Now let's tell the story. So that's what we should emphasize the night of the Seder. But nonetheless, I will just mention about Yachol Merosh Chodesh. What is the hava amino? What's the thought process that I would have thought I could fulfill the mitzvah already now of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Rosh Chodesh Nisan, what's the significance that I could begin telling this story now? So there are several answers to this question. One answer to this question is that in the context of Purim, we know that the entire Chodesh Adar has a significance of Simcha. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. One could fulfill b'di'evet, if you really won't have a Megillah, could fulfill the mitzvah of Megillas Esther, of reading the Megillah from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh. And it's based on the pasuk, v'hachodesh asher nepach lahem yagon l'simcha u'me'evel l'yom tov. The Megillah itself gives significance to the entire Chodesh. There's something about Adar that's very special. Well, when it comes to Nisan, the Torah calls this Chodesh Ha'aviv. It's Chodesh Ha'aviv. There's something about the Chodesh. There's significance to the Chodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim Rishonu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. The mitzvah of Korban Pesach was actually given on Rosh Chodesh. There's something unique about the Rosh Chodesh itself. In fact, according to many, the Radak quotes this on the Chumash, We when it came to the Mitzrim themselves, the reason why Paro, the conversation he has with Moshe, you see the insolence of Paro before Makas Bechoros more than any other Makah, and that's, he said, I don't want to see you anymore, is because there's something about Chodesh Nisan where the Mitzrim felt they had greater domination over the Jewish people. The Makos began in Tammuz. Makas Bechoros is the only Makkah taking place in Chodesh Nisan. What is it about Chodesh Nisan? So Chodesh Nisan, the astrologers know, is Aries, dominates when it comes to the constellations. And we know that the Mitzrim worship the Tleh, they worship the sheep, and according to them, there was great significance to this, not only the power of the sheep, but the entire month, as we know when it comes to astrology, the constellations are the ones that are behind the sun when the sun is rising. This great dominance and influence of that specific constellation on that month. So they felt this is who we worship. We know this way back to Parshas Vayeshev and Miketz, where Yosef sat separately and the Mitzrim sat separately because Lo Yochlu, they wouldn't eat, Lo Yochlu, the Mitzrim would not eat with Ivrim together. There's something about this month. It's the month of Nisan, the month of Tlet. And that's the Havam. I would have thought I could fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim from Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan, the great month when we were given the Karmic Pesach, when the Mitzrim thought they had great domination over the Jewish people, but it really wasn't true. So Tamil, just like the Geula of Purim is all about the entire Chodesh. Kamash Malon, that's why I need a pasuk to tell me it's not so. But that's the Hava. So let's begin. I want to share with you, they're longer ideas instead of cute little things. I want to begin with one of the comments, one of the essays that Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has in his Haggadah. And although he doesn't mention this specifically, I would say that the right time to, everyone needs to say, what's the right time to tell this Dvar Torah? You can't just say it. Like that last year I gave the Dvar Torah on Chag Gadyah. So the problem is that no one's paying attention to Chag Gadyah, so when am I going to say it? So that's a problem. That's a big problem. I don't have the answer to that question. So, but when we begin the drasha of Aramiyo Vedavi, so one of the phrases that we find is Vayogar Sham B'misei Ma'at. That we lived there in Mitzrayim, B'misei Ma'at, we were a small nation, small group of people, and then we eventually grew. And we multiplied. So the language of Vayogar, he points to a story, really what we would call really the Masa of Osiman Labanim, almost, of the story in Mitzrayim. And he speaks specifically about the story of Lot. And we know that for economic considerations, Lot leaves Avraham, he sees the city of Sodom, Kipula Mashter. Right before the city was destroyed, hard to imagine for those who visit the Dead Sea that this was once upon a time there were trees and fruit trees and water and everything that was there. Although you find a little, and Feshcha has a little bit of water over there. So this is his consideration, and he comes to the city, and he assimilates. He's acculturated. He's just part of the people. To the extent that we know, he's even appointed a shofet. He's sitting at the shahr. The shahr is even in Torah, in Halacha. The shahr is a place where the shofet lives. This social recognition, this affluence, he has made it in the town. And he's been there for a long period of time. His daughters marry people from Sodom. And yet, something so interesting happens. He invites guests to the house. Okay, so he shouldn't have done it. Fine, he can't, inside he still has Avram Avinu within him. And the language that's used, we know the people of the city surround the house. And this is the phrase that they use. Let these people out. Dinei da'o sam. Ha'echad ba'lagur. The echad, this one person, came to Lagur to live in the city. Vayishpot shafot, he even now acts as a shofet. Ata nara lecha mehem. We will now do evil, bad to you, Lot, more than we will do to them, to these two angels, these two guests that you've had, that you brought into your home. Now what happened? Lot's been living there forever. He's a shofet. He's a man of dignity. He's a man who commands respect from the people. And here, he does one thing, and they say, Ha'echad, you are an echad. What's an echad? You're different. You're by yourself. Balagur. And what you come to do? Balagur. What's lagur? So Vayagar Shom B'Maseimat B'Lamed. What does it teach us about Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu Lo Balish Takea. He didn't come to immerse himself and remain there. El Lagur Shom. What does Lagur mean in our minds? Lagur means I am a temporary resident. I'm not a citizen. And this is the language that they use towards Lot. You've been here for how many years? And this Ben Avraham, this person from Avraham's family, you know what you are? You're a ger. You're a ger. You think you've assimilated. You think you have. You've risen to the heights of respect, of honor. You're nothing. You know, you're absolutely nothing. You thought you integrated yourself into the society here. You're not a citizen. You're a ger. And get atalucha naralucha mehem. We'll do worse to you than we'll do to the malachim, to these people that are in your house. Absolutely amazing. And that's the story that he says happens to Mitzrayim. This is, we think about it, we go through this as well, the self-deception of the Jewish people, wherever we find ourselves in Golos, we go through the same thing. Now, it's on a communal level. We come to Mitzrayim, it's not about Lot, it's about the people. It's about our people. What do we come to Mitzrayim? And we feel Yosef's there, there's prosperity, there's affluence. Here we grow, we rise to power. We think we've integrated into the society, and lo and behold, is the story of Mitzrayim. So that story of, and the Ramban writes at the beginning of Shemos, speaks about the Master of Osima Labanim, that Sefer Bereishis, the Sefer Hayitzira. Sefer Hayitzira means it's the Sefer that not only has the creation of the world, but it plants the seeds. It creates the Master of Osiman Labanim, and the story of Lot is the story of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. We're immigrants, we're foreigners, we're outsiders. This is the way the Mitzrayim view the people. Doesn't matter. We have the king and Vayaka Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yadas Yosef. That's the story of our people. And with that idea, we can understand the choice of Arami Oved Avi. Obviously, one of the famous questions of the Seder is why we choose the Mikra Bikurim. Why we choose this paragraph of speaking about bringing the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. And this is where we tell the story. So there are many answers to this. But one of the ways to explain it is that Arami Oved Avi is telling us that prosperity for the Jewish people, I would say, prosperity is only a virtue, you know where? In the land of Israel. That's where it matters. When you can take your Bikurim and you can bring him to the Beis HaMikdash, that's where the affluence makes a difference. Anywhere else, the Jewish people see prosperity, so we have to be concerned. We have to be worried what's going to be in the future. Because we think that we prosper, and now we integrate ourselves, and we often prosper because we assimilate, because we integrate ourselves. So the lesson of the Seder, the lesson of Arami Oved Avi and the bringing of the Bikurim is tell the story in the context of bringing the Bikurim. I'm now bringing, when can I be proud of my affluence? When can I be proud of what I have? When I'm in the land of Israel. Then I can bring the Bikurim Arami Oved Avi. In fact, the idea of Mikra Bikurim, Rav Yoel Ben Nun developed this many, many years ago. I'm sure we're familiar with this, but it's worthwhile to review anyway. That even the story itself, we know that there's an abrupt end to Rami Oved Avi. There's something missing. When we speak about Rami Oved Avi, we stop right at the point where Hine Ata, Hine Hedesi, Es Reishis Pri HaAdama. We tell the whole story of Mitzrayim, but the bringing of the Bikurim, that story we haven't told. Because the Seder night, is not the primary redemption. Leaving Mitzrayim is not the culmination of our people, of our redemption. That's the beginning. To think that now we're no longer enslaved, and that's the end all be all of our people. So we know that's not so. The Ramban writes, it's also the beginning of Shemos. The Geula is when we bring the Shechina down. When do we do that? On Har Sinai was the beginning, the building of the Mishkan, and ultimately coming to the land of Israel. So when I can come to the Beis HaMikdash with my Bikurim, and which are the first Bikurim? The first Bikurim are the Shtei HaLechem. The Shtei HaLechem are the only two, besides 10 loaves of the Karban Todah, the only Chametz we ever bring in the Beis HaMikdash are the Shtei HaLechem. Why is that important? Because we always speak about matzah as the geula of our people. But matzah is not lechem of geula. It's the achalu avasana b'arad Mitzrayim. And even when we're rushing out of Mitzrayim, we're eating matzah. Matzah is lechem oni. It's still called lechem oni, even though we eat it when we leave Mitzrayim. Because it's not the ultimate geula. The culmination of the redemption of the Jewish people is when we can enter the land of Israel and we can bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. What are the first Bikurim? They're Chametz. Chametz, that's the culmination. Matzah is the beginning. Chametz is the end. So it's important that we understand the night of the Seder that we are Galim. Wherever we are in the Gola, we are considered Galim. Lagur. That's Lot in Sodom. That's the Jewish people. That's Yaakov in Mitzrayim until they return to the land of Israel. And that's the Jewish people throughout our history, and a very important lesson to keep in mind. There is, maybe moving a little bit out of order, just I'm trying to fit in what we can fit in here. There's an interesting question the Abravanel raises in, I may have mentioned this a little bit on a Shabbos, but you couldn't take notes then, and it couldn't be recorded. Rav Abravanel wonders, two questions he has at the beginning of Parshas Bo. Parshas Bo begins the Makos of Arba. And when we go through the Makos, we should be thinking about what they symbolize, what happened in between the Makos, at what point is Paro in his tshuva process during the Makos. And what's interesting is, in the beginning of Parshas Bo, Hashem gives the following command to the Jewish people. Uleman tisaper, right? You're supposed to tell the story. I want you to tell your children and your grandchildren how I was able to play around with the Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim. So, one question is, why all of a sudden does a grandparent have a Mitzrayim? Why did a grandparent? Parents teach the children. If there's a grandparent, the person who's zochet to have a grandparent of the Seder, it's not enough that the parent's there, the grandparent has to be there. And number two, if you want to tell me about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that it should be taught by a parent and a grandparent, why is that in between Barad and Arba? Why there? Either before the Makos start, tell us they have this mitzvah. When the Makos of Arba, tell they have the mitzvah. So, one of the ways to explain this is as follows. If we look, there's another mitzvah that is upon the grandparent. V'hodatam livanecha v'livnei vanecha yom asher amata l'fnei Hashem alokecha b'chorev. What mitzvahs does the Gemara, and the Gemara in Kiddushin elaborates, Daf Yomi just covered this a couple of days ago. What mitzvah do we have that's not only upon the parent, but it's upon the grandparent, and that is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of teaching our grandchildren Torah. To the extent the Gemara even says that one who teaches his grandchild Torah, it's ki'ilu kibla mehar Sinai. It's as if the child has received the Torah from Har Sinai itself. What's the grandparent? So, when we think about transmitting traditions to our children, so if we want to transmit basic morality, basic ethics to our children, so if we model that behavior, we teach our children, right, they're supposed to have to be careful about thievery, have to be careful about general morality. So we could understand that if we model that behavior and we explain how it's rational, we can understand the children will adopt that way of life. We hope they'll adopt that way of life. There's a good chance they will. Well, when it comes to a supernatural event, it's very difficult. We struggle ourselves. So my parent says, I want to tell you something. All the way back, it goes all the way back. We were at the Har Sinai, and we were given all these mitzvot. And this is a direction you're supposed to take in life. And there may be things you don't fully understand, but I want you to adopt this way of life. How successful are we going to be in transmitting that tradition to the children? That way of life. That you're not wearing shabbos, and there's a parah aduma, and there's Yom Kippur. So that already is going to be very difficult. We need to call in whatever we can, whatever ammunition we have to make that work. How do we do that? We bring the grandparent. Because what a child is able to see at a Seder, often is the child says, one second, my father is doing this, he's telling me to do this. How does he know to do this? Because the grandfather's here. He's telling the same story. How does he know that? Well, his father must have told him. And a child, even a young child, can go back a few generations at the table. And if that great-great-grandfather heard this story, so then it can go further back. Somehow, when you have three generations, you realize, oh, so there was a connection. The fact that it's coming to me through a previous generation, maybe this really does go back, all the way back to Har Sinai. And it's only from the perspective of the grandparent the child is able to see the generations. L'man tisaper ba'aznei vincha uven mincha, that maybe, with that perspective of another generation, a previous generation, we now can connect the dots. Sometimes you play those games, you want to connect the, okay, you don't know where it's going. I see, there's a pattern. Okay, it goes back to the grandparent and the great-grandparent. This person is zochet to have a great-grandparent sitting at the table. And they're saying, these are the songs we sang, and this is how we prepare for Pesach. And this is what I remember sitting in my own Seder with my grandparent there. That's how many Sedarim do you need to go back before you were back at the Seder of years ago? All the way back to the first Seder to Mitzrayim. So that's number one of why the grandparents are so important. But it's more than that. The Abarbanel says, when I think about the Makkah of Arba and the Makkah of Barad, so there was a transition there. After the Makkah of Barad, what does Paro say? Paro says, Hashem HaTzadik Va'ani Va'ami HaRishon. Hashem is the righteous one, and we are wicked. The most obstinate leader. Here is someone who is a non-believer, and someone as ruthless as Paro is now admitting, Hashem HaTzadik Va'ani Va'ami HaRishoim. This is once again gives us the strength, really, to bolster our own emunah. We often have this. How often does it happen that I believe I move on, and then all of a sudden that they have this guy comes in to speak. What's his name? His name is Chris Goldberg or something. He changed his name. He was a priest and he did this and he did that. And now he's coming. He found religion. He comes to speak. Everyone walks out of that speech and says, "Wow, that now I have chizuk. What do I have chizuk for?" Okay, because it's one thing that, you know, my parents tell me to do this, my parents are keeping the Seder, and they're performing these mitzvahs. And I'm, okay, that I understand. Okay, we're all part of the same book. But someone, an outsider, someone who is against us, someone who didn't believe in all of this, all of a sudden is a believer, now there's a Muna, that strengthens my own. And that's why after I hear Paro say, Hashem HaTzadik, after the Makkah of Bara, then Hashem says, now maybe you'll be successful. L'man tisaper b'aznei v'incha uven mincha esasher salati mitzvah. You want your kids to believe this. You need the grandparent there, and you need that even someone like Paro is now willing to admit the existence of the Ribono Shel Olam. And maybe the combination of those two will help bolster the faith of every Jew sitting at the Seder. That's the transition between the Barad and the Arba. Rabban Gamliel says, Kol shalo amar shlosho devar malalu ba Pesach lo yotza yidei chavos aveilu hein Pesach matzah umar. It's a general question discussed at length. What was he referring to? Was he referring to that a person is lo yotza yidei chavoso? You're not yotza the mitzvah of sipur yitzias mitzrayim if you don't discuss Pesach matzah umar, you don't understand it? Or Rabbi Gamliel is saying a person is not yotze the mitzvah of matzah unless you talk about it. You're not yotze the mitzvah of Pesach unless you talk about it. You're not yotze the mitzvah of maror unless you talk about it. So one of the interpretations I was using this year, Rabbi Ari Marcus from Reshit actually came out with the Haggadah, very, very nice Haggadah. He learned by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik for Zatzal for many years. He calls him his Rebbe all the time. So much of what he writes, he quotes from him. So one idea that he has in here is to explain the statement of Rabbi Gamliel. Which one is it? Number one, is it the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or is it Pesach Matzah Omar? Question one. Question two. Why is it Rabban Gamliel? Is this a Das Yachid? This is a minority opinion? No one else agrees? Everyone says you tell the story. This Pesach Matzah Omar, you don't need to talk about the Psukim, why I eat the Pesach and eat the Matzah, eat the Mara. Only Rabban Gamliel. And also, why so negative? Kol Shelo Amar Shlosa Dvar Valo Loyer Tzidei Chalosa. How about saying, you know, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah, so then, you know, say all these three things, then it'll be wonderful. So he explains that we need to know the personality of Rabban Gamliel, and one specific story about Rabban Gamliel, which we're probably all familiar with, and that explains the Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. And that you're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah by just eating the matzah. And you won't fulfill the mitzvah of maror by just eating the maror, and you won't fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach by just eating the Karban Pesach. It's not about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's about the mitzvah itself. What's the story? So the story of Gamliel aggravated Rabbi Yehoshua on three occasions. The last occasion was a dispute in Maseches Brachos, whether Tfilas Arvis, the Shmon Esri of Marvis of Rishus, is voluntary, whatever that means, optional, maybe, and Cho'or, it's a Chova, like Rabbi Gamliel said. And on all of these occasions, Rabbi Gamliel essentially embarrasses Rabbi Yehoshua, tells him to stand up in front of everybody. You may remember the story in Rosh Hashanah. They had a dispute about when Rosh Chodesh was. He had to come on the day that Rabbi Yehoshua felt was Yom Kippur with his money belt, and it was very embarrassing. So they wanted to do away with him. So they're trying to find someone to put in his stead. So this you can connect to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed the Nasi. And what happened was, the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed Nasi and I was in charge, we know the Gemara says that he had a different policy when it came to the Beis Medrash. And they had to bring in hundreds more benches. A machlokas, how many benches they had to bring in. That was the day where there were testimonies about a variety of halachos. A whole mesechta called Adios was put together on that very day, Bechiras. That day had a name, it was called Bo Bayom. All of a sudden, you know, you think Bo Bayom is the day, my kid's bar mitzvah is Bo Bayom. No, Bo Bayom is that day that he was appointed the Nasi, and they brought in all these chairs, and people who never could walk into the Beis Medrash could walk in. What was the policy of Rabban Gamliel? So the policy was, Kol She'ein Tocho Kibara. If you're literally, your inside is not like your outside, you don't belong in the Beis Medrash. Now, what does that mean? It means that Rabban Gamliel feels that if a person is all about chitzoniyut, it's all about externals. He has the big yarmulke, he's wearing the tzitzis, he's doing, but inside he's not believing. Inside he's not connected emotionally. He doesn't have the drive of Talmud Torah. He has other interests. He's not such a tzaddik. He doesn't belong in the Beis Medrash. He doesn't belong in the Beis Medrash. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah felt, let everybody into the Beis Medrash. So he's not such a tzaddik, so maybe he's not so careful on Shabbos, but let him come and learn. The Beis Medrash should be open to everybody. And that's indeed our policy. The Beis Medrash is open to anybody and everybody. However, the night of the Seder is different. Rabbi Gamliel all of a sudden takes center stage, and his approach takes center stage. And the Haggadah therefore quotes his opinion, quoted in the Mishnayos Pesachim, of course, that if you don't say these three things, lo yatza yidei chavasa, which means what? How am I supposed to transmit this beautiful tradition that we have to my children and grandchildren? How do I do it? Let's go through the motions. All right, let's eat the matzah. Oh, this matzah is so crunchy, right? This matzah, like the, if you ever watch the video, it's so crunchy, so chewy, right? And I have cups of wine, I'm getting dizzy. Let's go through this quickly. I don't like that song. I don't like the other song. And if that's the Seder, so how many more Siddurim will be in this family? How many more generations? Rabbi Gamliel says, you need what we call Tocho Kibaro. What does it mean? The Seder has to be internalized. A person, when he eats the matzah, it's not enough that he's eating the matzah. He has to understand what the matzah means. What does the matzah mean to a Jew? What does the Korban Pesach mean to a Jew? If you're going to eat the Korban Pesach and eat the Mor and not speak about it, what are the chances that this Seder is going to endure? The night of the Seder is different. The emunah has to be palpable. And that can only be done by explaining, this is why we eat the matzah. Let's not only eat it, let's talk about it. Let me explain it to you. And that's why he's so... Kol, if you don't discuss this, Kol shelo amar shlosho devar malolu b'pesach lo yatsa yidei chavaso. You don't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah if you don't talk about it. You don't fulfill the mitzvah of mor if you don't talk about it. Because Rav Gamliel says, kol she'ein tocho kivaro, in this context means, you have to live it. You have to feel it. At least the night of the Seder. And that's an obligation, that's a responsibility that we put upon the parents, upon the grandparents, in order to instill the love of Yahadut in the children and the grandchildren. And that's Rabbi Gamliel, and that's what he means. It's his personality, the night of the Seder, that we have to allow this religion to endure. Okay. He quotes something else from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. We know at Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk says, Vaya'aminu b'Hashem uva Moshe avda. Something at Yamsuf, somehow it was only there that we could say that there was great faith in the Jewish people. Before that, I saw all the makos, but I didn't have the emunah. All of a sudden, now I have the emunah. What changed? So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says that at Yom Suf we became active participants in the miracle. The miracle happened through the Jewish people. It happened through Daber el Bnei Yisrael v'Yisa. Go into the sea. I know it hasn't split. Go into the sea. In Mitzrayim, we're passive. We watch the makos. I believe. How much do you believe? You believe when you put your heart and soul into it. We believe when we say, I believe, to the extent that Nachshon ben Aminadav is going to jump into the water. That happens at Yom Suf. He says the word emunah is related to the word uman. An uman is a kret. It's someone who is molding something, someone who is creating something, someone who is active. Vayaminu b'Hashem means that the Jewish people took this umanut. They actually became active participants. And that's the emunah that we hope that we have and we're able to transmit to our children as well. Out of time. I think last year we had an hour when we were downstairs, but okay. In fact, tonight I thought it was we were starting at 8 o'clock.
All right, which one to choose?
What's the better problem?
I know.
So let me go back where we started. We mentioned Yachol Rosh Chodesh. Why would I have thought to begin for Rosh Chodesh? So the Rav felt that this Hava, I mean, this possibility of beginning at Rosh Chodesh is based on the following. When it comes, we know when the Rambam writes, speaks about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so he has a phrase there when he speaks about the mitzvah. So he says, this is akin to Zachor Siyum HaShabbos LeKadoshah. The same way we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, so too, right? The same way we remember Shabbos, so we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what is it about Shabbos and Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the connection? We mentioned it in Kiddush. What's the connection between the two? So Shabbos is something that's not about one day a week. Shabbos is about thinking about anticipating that day every day. It's kind of like the rabbi and his drasha. Every day is Shabbos. Because every day you read another article, you hear something, you have a conversation, you open up a sefer, ooh, maybe this is good, put this into the drasha. That's what Shabbos is like. We find a good piece of food, the Gemara says, in Beitzah, Shammai and Hillel, or Shehillel says, I'll find, don't worry about it. Shammai says, no, today you have a piece of meat, looks very good, put save this for Shabbos. I find something better, that, okay, I'll say that. It is Ali today, I'll say that for Shabbos. The anticipation of Shabbos, I think about it all week. In a positive way. That's Zachor Siyum HaShabbos LeKadoshah. The night of the Seder has to be the same. The mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is something that we're supposed to feel through the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's that one day a year that I have, the 15th of Nisan, and then every day draws from that day. Every day is an anticipation of that day coming again. So if we relive the day properly, so it'll be like Shabbos. Because Shabbos is a day that I anticipate. Shabbos is a day that we draw from through the rest of the week. And then we'll be able to feel the presence of the Shechina. We'll be able to feel the beauty of our religion all year round. Because of the experience we have at the Seder. That's the connection. Shabbos and Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. If we live the Seder properly. So then I would have said, Yachol Merosh Chodesh. I would have thought, well, beginning of the month, I have to anticipate. I'm already thinking about Hilchos Pesach. I'm already preparing the Karban Pesach. So if that's true, so maybe the Sipur should start even earlier. The same way I begin to prepare for Shabbos earlier. And even though we paskin against them, it's not Yochom Erosh Chodesh. It's the 15th. Nonetheless, the lesson is still there. That in the same way that Shabbos is something I anticipate, we have to anticipate the Seder, and the Seder has to remain with us afterwards for the rest of the year. If we're able to instill the Emunah, which is really the theme of tonight's Shiur, the Emunah into the children and the grandchildren, to understand, to experience the Seder the way we should, to discuss the Makos, to understand how even Paro was now a man. That imamin means to be someone who's a craftsman, who's an uman, who becomes an active participant with the Ribono Shel Olam. So then in fact that will be something that will be with us hopefully for the rest of the year. Wish everyone a Chag Kasher Sameach.